So here we're going to go. We're going to. God is so awesome all the time. So let's just sit back and we're going to do something a little different. This is kind of sort of like a little bit of a cantata musical, and y'all are going to sing in it. So here we go. Ready? The most recorded of all times Christmas song is Silent Night. Silent Night has very humble origins. It was written in a tiny village in Austria by Franz Gruber, who actually wrote the music, and Joseph Moore, who wrote the poem. These are just churchmen who wanted a simple song to perform for Christmas. Since the organ had been damaged by flooding, they were trying to come up with a simple song that just blessed. Joseph actually had written a poem years before, after he had seen a Christmas play by some traveling actors. On the way back to the church, he sat up on a hill and he looked over at the church. And the Lord began to minister to him, so he began writing these words. When it come time when the church organ was broken and there was no way it looked they were going to have music because of the lack of music, he gave it to Franz and said, "Can you add music to this?" So Franz put music to it. It was performed by the accompaniment of a guitar and was later performed by the groups of those traveling folk singers, and they spread it around the world. Got some unusual stories about all these songs, and here's one here. But perhaps the most famous place the carol had been sung was also the most unusual. It was in the trenches during World War I. In December 1914, hostilities had died down between the battles as tense English, French, and German soldiers waited for the next bout of gunfire. But on Christmas Eve, what they got instead was an unexpected ceasefire. In certain places along the line, enemy soldiers ventured into no man's land to play games, exchange gifts, smoke cigarettes, celebrate together as best they could, knowing that in a few days they would resume fighting against each other again. Men recounted the beauty of their familiar Christmas carols that were sung among the soldiers. The Englishmen sang "God Rest You Merry Gentlemen." The French with their Cante de Noël, and "Silent Night" was sang in its original German. It was a song from a simpler time, first performed on that mass on Christmas Eve in that small village. Centuries later, over the bloody, disease-riddled trenches, in hopes that there would be another silent night again soon, this beautiful song was sang. Let's all stand. Ready? Everybody sing it. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child. Holy infant, so tender and mild, sleep in heaven. heavenly peace. Sleep in heavenly peace. Silent night, holy night, shepherds quake at the sight. Glory stream from heaven afar. Heavenly hosts sing hallelujah. Christ the Savior is born. Christ the Savior is born. Silent night, holy night, Son of God, love's pure light, radiant peace from thy holy faith. With the dawn of redeeming grace, Jesus, Lord, at thy birth, Jesus, Lord, at thy birth. You can be seated. Sing it. Oh. Away in a manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the sky looked down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. The cattle a-lowing, the baby awakes. But little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes. I love thee, Lord Jesus, look down from the sky and stay by my until morning is nigh. 2,000 years ago, there appeared a star seen round the world. It signaled the birth of a king, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Never has there been such a majestic sight that even wise men stood in awe as they entered into flight. Shepherds heard the message from angels up on high, singing joy to the world, our Savior has arrived. They journeyed far to see the King, and I'm sorry to have to say, he wasn't in a palace, but lying in the hay. For such a child as Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, there simply just was no room except behind stable doors. Many years have come and gone since that first Christmas night, but still there seems to be no room for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Behold, He's standing at the door, awaiting to come in to help you with the cares of life if you will only let Him in. But just as on that holy night, our Savior it did bring, there still seems to be no room for Jesus, our King. Be near me, Lord Jesus, I ask Thee to stay close by me forever and love me, I pray. Bless all the dear children in Thy tender care and fit us for heaven to live with Thee there. Give the Lord a hand clap. While most Christmas carols focus on the story of the Nativity in the past, one well-known hymn encourages Christians to look forward to the future. There's one Christmas carol that is unlike all others, having to do with the coming of Jesus. That song is Joy to the World. It is not about the first coming of Jesus. This hymn is about the second coming of Jesus. Joy to the World was originally part of a book of poems written by the great English hymn writer Isaac Watts in 1719. Based on the 98th Psalm, the poem was never intended to be a Christmas song, or any kind of song for that matter. And Watts never knew that he had just written one of the most famous hymns ever. A century later, a Boston music teacher named Lowell Mason discovered the poem and set it to music. Because it was released at Christmas time, it quickly became a holiday favorite and went on to become one of the most published Christmas carols in America. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Let every nation prepare Him room and heaven and nature sing. He rules the world with truth and grace and makes the nations prove the wonders of His majesty. It's all about when He comes again finally and rules in power and justice and mercy. Let's all stand and sing this together. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. Do it again. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rock hills and plains, repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy. Repeat, repeat the sounding joy. He rules the world with truth and grace and makes the nations prove the glories of His righteousness, and wonders of His love, and wonders of His love, and wonders of His love. You may be seated. Yes, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. God is so good to us all the time. There's one carol. The carol, O Holy Night, was actually banned by church leadership. It was not allowed to come through the doors of what the leadership considered the holy place. If it were not for the common people, the powerful song would have faded into obscurity. In 1847, a wine merchant in France was asked by his parish priest to write a poem for the Christmas Eve service. On a horse carriage ride to Paris, the gentleman imagined himself a witness to the birth of Christ. The wonder of that glorious moment flowed through his pen and gave us the poem Cante de Noël, the Song of Christmas. Capet had the words, but now he needed the music to lift the souls heavenward in the song. So he asked his friend Adolf Adam to help. It was an unusual request because Adam was certainly a trained classical musician, so writing a tune was no big deal to him, but he was not a Christian. He was a Jew. Nevertheless, he good-naturedly received his friend's request and began at once to compose an original tune for the poem. It was a perfect match, and the song was performed for the congregation on Christmas Eve. The French loved the song. Unfortunately, a few years later, it was learned that Capet had left the church for the philosophy of socialism, and after it was discovered that the composer was not of the Christian faith, the church leadership in France banned the song from their liturgy. But the French would not let that song die. 10 years after the song was composed, an American abolitionist, John Sullivan Dwight, heard the carol in French. He heard the vibrant message of hope, especially the verse that said in French, "The Redeemer has broken every bond. He sees the brother where there was only a slave, and love unites that iron has chained." He brought the song to the United States, where it quickly became popular during the American Civil War. During Christmas Eve, 1871, in the middle of the Franco-Persian War, a French soldier jumped out of the trenches and started singing O Holy Night without a weapon in his hands. As he finished the song, a German soldier jumped out and answered with another favorite Christmas hymn. Afterwards, the fighting stopped for a full 24 hours to observe a temporary peace in honor of Christmas. After this story made its way into the general public, the French allowed O Holy Night back into the church. Here is an amazing cappella rendition of Dwight's version with the words we all know and love. Legend has it that the French Catholic Church finally received the song back in their services after an encounter with French and German soldiers that night in 1870. During a lull in the fighting, some Christmas soldiers sang that song. It's amazing how it impressed the Germans to lay their weapons down for that moment of peace. Go ahead, BJ. Thank you. Glory. Glory. Since around 800 AD, the birth of Jesus has been used as the pivotal point of history in many of the world's cultures. We define our human history by the initials BC, before Christ, and AD, Anno Domini, which means the year of our Lord. Beyond and beside this practical human invention is a deep reality that the incarnation of the Son of God is indeed the central point, the crucial point, the defining point, not just in human history, but in the grand and overriding plan and sovereign purpose of God, which He willed and determined before the creation of the world. All of the Old Testament looks forward to this point. All of the New Testament reflects back on this point. Here at this point that which we were promised and anticipated is implemented and fulfilled, that which God said would happen did happen. Here's God's eternal purpose, God's eternal plan. Here it is accomplished. Here's this pivotal point, this incarnation. Our ignorance of God is supplanted by the knowledge of God. Because of this pivot point, this incarnation, any human claim that God does not exist is nullified. Because of this pivot point, this incarnation, all human questions about God are answered. Because of this pivot point, this incarnation, all human accusations revolving around God and human sufferings are rendered void. Because of this pivot point, this incarnation, Our fearful dread of God is replaced by joy in God's presence. Because of this pivot point, this incarnation of God, our deep human agony can be exchanged for deep, deep peace. Because of this pivotal point, we sinners can be declared saints of God. Because of this pivotal point, this incarnation, our guilt can be overwhelmed and disempowered by God's grace. But there's here another thing, a personal thing. Here at this pivotal point, the eternal and the infinite coincide with the temporary and the limited. Here life intermingles with death. Here God becomes man. And in becoming man, he confronts every one of us with the challenge that must be answered, that must be faced. Here's not just a pivotal point in the human calendar. Here's not just a dividing point in human history. Here's not only the fulfillment of the overpowering will and purpose of God. Here's also the pivotal point, the deciding point of every human life here in this incarnation. Each one of us must choose faith or unbelief, life or death. Here, at this point, is the final opportunity, the final offer, the final command. Here God stands before us and says, "Here I am. This is who I am. This is what I am. Repent. Believe. Choose me. Choose life." Father, we love you and we thank you for this day. We thank you, God, for this opportunity, Lord, to have been able to have this service. Lord, we know, God, that although it's raining on the outside, although it looks rough on the outside, we know that life has that same characteristic. So many times it looks rough on the outside, but we know on the inside we can still have peace. I ask you right now, Lord, to touch each person here today. I ask you, God, to bless them, Lord, because I know everybody has their battles. But you showed us you loved us so much that you sent your Son in the form of man in order that he can say, "I know how you feel." And he can say, "I did it. So I know that you can too with my help." We thank you for the incarnation because it points to Calvary. And we thank you for Calvary, but without the incarnation, it would have never happened. We thank you, God, for all that you do for us. All the time, you're an awesome God, and we thank you for all. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church says, amen. Now, I hope you have a blessed Christmas. And come up, and if you finally decide to get here, come here so fast. You know, it's like, wham, here we are. Pray that, you know, if God can stop the sun for Joshua, he can stop the rain for this parade. Amen. Wouldn't it be cool if it was pouring rain everywhere but down Academy Street? Wouldn't that be awesome? Come on this afternoon. If you're in the parade of any way, come on earlier and let God bless us, okay? This is a way we show the community love. One of the many ways we show them love. So come on, be in the parade. Be in the parade or be by the parade or something. We're not going to have refreshments like we normally have because of COVID. But Santa will be sitting right there on that stoop if it's not raining. And he'll have roped off so the children have to be 6 foot from him. But he still is going to hand them. They're going to be handed safely candy and a hug bug. And we know God's got this. Amen. Look at somebody and say, "God's got this." Praise the Lord. Look at somebody and tell me you're looking good. If you can't say it, tell them to put their mask on and then say it. Everybody, let's stand. Brother Steve, will you dismiss us in prayer, please?